life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Well, hi everyone, I'm Sylvie Avery and welcome to the Spirits Work program, where we bring you interdimensional communication between our world and the spirit world. And this week's show is going to be our second program about animals and their soul groups and what they are, what they get up to in the spirit world, and all about anything about animals. And if you would like to join us with a question, we'd love to hear from you. We will be trying to stay on topic, and as usual, you know that it's general questions anyway. It's not a reading style show. So anyway, it's free phone in the USA. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers is free phone, but it's only a quick call, and it's 001-530-876-3222.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. If you'd like to know more about us, or maybe you might like to book an Akashic reading, we suggest you go visit our website, which is at www.spirit-teaching.com. We're also now live on www.spiritsworkradio.com, and actually for UK and Europe, we are on www.mickavery.com. Now, on the Spirits Work show, we cross the divide between the physical world and the spirit world and discuss all kinds of things, not only metaphysical, but normal everyday situations that affect us all and our planet. I'm a deep trance medium, and live on the show, I channel our resident spirit expert, Gregory Hay. When I'm in the trance state, I don't have any awareness of what's going on in the physical world, but with the help of the spirit world, I have developed a method of being able to have a kind of instant out-of-body experience, which enables me to lend my body to the spirit communicator to use in a very pure way, so there isn't anything coming off from my conscious physical mind to get in the way, which is probably just as well, really. Mm. Anyway, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie and get on with the business of letting go of myself so that I cannot be here.
That's great. We're looking forward to it. Only because, Nick, oh no, really, only because we want to speak to Gregory. So anyway, like Nick said, his spirit and his consciousness are taken to the spirit world, and he won't know of anything that has happened until he comes back into his body at the end of the show. And very shortly, Gregory Hay will be joining us. And he's the spokesperson for an enlightened group of spirits called the White Cloud Group. And they're called White Cloud because the White Cloud Group because of White Cloud, who is the shining one of the group, who brought together these many great minds to form an educational collection so that we can have access to as much knowledge and information that we need to know in order to benefit ourselves, our Earth, and everyone on it. They've come with a mission, if you like, to share their knowledge with us in the hope that we can become more aware of the nature of our existence and possibly inspired into making a positive difference to our world. So again, if you would like to know more, please do go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And yes, like I said, this isn't a reading style show, but you can phone in and ask Gregory a question, or you can really, which is around the subjects that we're going to be talking about, unless some weeks I do have just random questions that listeners have sent in to me by email or whatever, which is something that I just like to explain that you can do if you would like to know how it goes. If you can think of something, it can be one question, it can be a whole show suggestion. You can send it in and I'll ask Gregory on your behalf 1 week and give you a mention. And, you know, because not everybody's really interested in, or, you know, they don't like phoning up on programs. It's different, I think, if you're going to get a reading. However it works for you, it doesn't matter. You can email me at enq@spirit-teaching.com and I will do that for you and get back to you. We do Akashic readings, as Mick said, and we do them by telephone worldwide, absolutely anywhere in the world. It's a free phone on our behalf. We phone you and you get a recording of it by CD or an MP3 download. And obviously you can have a one-to-one if you're in the UK, if you want to come and visit us. So I'll leave that up to you. And we do have an Akashic readings page you can go visit. But I do believe Gregory Hay is with us now. And
hello.
Hello, Gregory.
Hello, friends. Hello. Hello. With love and light and blessings as ever, dear friend, little bird. Hello, one and all. Greetings, greetings from our side of dead people.
Oh, dear. It's going to be like that, is it? Okay. So this week we're going to be carrying on, really, with our topic of conversation from last week, which was absolutely fascinating. And
yes,
we were talking
yes.
about animals and their soul groups and their
yes,
intention,
yes.
all about them. I mean,
yes,
just
yes.
we went, just some absolutely fascinating things that we were talking about. And people can actually, excuse me, by the way, you can listen to these on download as well at some point and catch up with past shows.
Yes.
Okay. So, right. What was it that you wanted to start about this week? And did you actually want to just explain a little about the situation with spiders, sort of just a general short little explanation? Because I know we've talked about them before. And last week I did say to you that I thought that we'd brought more before, but you were saying that actually it's not something that we should be talking about at the moment. Not to scaremonger, but it's just sometimes you see we can talk about things and the group
yes.
actually it's up to them and the species that they're talking about really whether their spokesperson wants to bring us certain information.
Yes,
so
yes.
sometimes things
right,
may yes. seem a little bit vague.
That's right.
If people are following everything that we've done, so I just wanted to explain that and that this can happen with various other species,
yes, absolutely, so.
Beings or whatever.
Yes, and mm. and so it is, my dear friend, particularly with this species, because such a great deal of information is yet to be revealed about them. It's like
right.
human beings actually take a great store about whatever information that they have about spiders at this present time. They are an animal just like anyone else, and that in actual fact to do with the contents of where they are from and all of this sort of situation tends to be in a sense, it's not in a sense to set a stage of mystery, but really it's that for much of the situation we cannot discuss without their authority as that is the same with any other species. So that in some respects what we have to do is we have to say, well, maybe the one species or another doesn't have a specific planet of which they are adhered to purely and simply because they don't want it to be talked about.
Yep, and that's absolutely fair enough. We assume because we've got the question that we're entitled to an answer, which is,
yes.
of course, rubbish.
And of course, it's not, therefore, then to say that just because a species evolves upon the Earth in the way and manner and type and form that it has, that it is only peculiar to the Earth. I know that perhaps those who follow Darwinian trait theory are perhaps a bit vexed by this because maybe they would think, well, in the Galapagos Islands, it actually proves the point that if you isolate species, then they become peculiar just to their own environment and not maybe necessarily having tangible understanding and respect to other environments so that they're not species which are repeated. This is so in respect of species identity, but not in mapping. What I'm talking about in mapping is the general ecology of the evolution of species. So that you may have spider, for example, that ranges right across the planet, but only in certain places do certain species of spider exist.
Yes.
And that is exactly the same with sea dragons or whatever you might call them. They may be different kinds of birds or whatever that have specific plumage and specific coloration, have abilities like bower birds and that kind of thing to build these most ornate nests and yet cannot be seen anywhere else. So you will have all different kinds of situations where the specifics of species, as in the Darwinian form of it, and in the understanding of it, will only exist in certain places, but that the species generally will be something that will be repeated, not on every single planet, because it entirely depends upon the hostility, the environment, the makeup of gases, the makeup of different liquids, what their whole environment is going to be, and what kind of life that in ultimately is going to be able to support. So we would have a situation, perhaps, whereby you would find that many different species of virus or bacteria, for example, would exist in many different forms on many different planets. But that those specifics are not covered by the same species, so that it means that if you have cat, for example, they don't exist everywhere. They only exist in quite specific places, quite specific orientations. It does not mean to say, however, that their behavior is necessarily going to be completely different, although some places it is, you see? Because it all depends on, therefore, then what area of species you are looking at. And there are many different situations which appear to be purely and simply because of the environmental consequence of what they're living in. The makeup of gases and that kind of thing will depend and depict very distinctly about what kind of animal is going to be perceived, you see? So you would have a situation then whereby you have now, as we have said within the species tree, that in actual fact, wolves came very soon after whales, because whales begat wolves. In fact, the first and early wolves came from the very first and early whales, which were the kind which actually made a great deal of understanding on the seashore. They lived a great deal of life which was in the very shallows of the seashore, and they then simply moved onto the land because they became foragers, really, of the interplay between land and sea. And so then, therefore, you will have an understanding that wolves themselves are one of these ancient marker species, cornerstone species, foundation creatures, we call them. And they, like whales, then create the foundation for many other species. So there are many different species that come from wolves. This does not mean to say that wolves only exist upon the planet of Earth, because I understand that they exist elsewhere within the universe. And sometimes they actually not only exist in other places in the universe, but they also have different peculiarities. Like, for example, they're able to actually use their vocal cords, not in just purely a way of singing or in purely a way of using their vocal prowess to communicate across long distances in the ways of different barks and that kind of thing, but that they actually can form different kinds of treaty. Their vocal cords can be used in different ways to produce sound and a different kind of speech that would then mean that they have a very set and specific language. Now, ordinarily, if you look at wolves, for example, on your side of life, you would see that they do have language, in actual fact. They don't just call to one another just calling notes or something like that. And then that's a matter of interpretation from one to another. It's not a learnt situation in that respect. But in actual fact, what's happening is that in the songs that they sing, that wolves sing, that they're actually able to liaise with one another through their song and understand one another, what they want to do.
Okay. Okay. So, but you mentioned wolves existing elsewhere. Do you mean on other planets? Obviously,
yes,
they exist.
I do.
In the spirit world.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
So, but if they transpired from the whale on Earth, then is this something that they've done after they've had a physical Earth life, or are they a wolf type species but don't look like the wolf that evolved from Earth?
Yes, absolutely so. There are some which are completely hairless, for example.
Okay.
And there are some which actually have skin which is as thick as a rhinoceros.
Right. So, but
and they're quite different species.
So that was before the Earth then, was it?
No. So what I'm saying, my dear friend, is that on other planets, basically, when you're looking at the Earth and you're trying to understand species and the evolutionary state, you are actually seeing that certain specific markers of geniality moves from one situation to another. That means it evolves in a kind of a sometimes steady state, whereby it takes thousands or hundreds of thousands of years or millions of years to develop one species. And others move at a different rate, whereby they actually evolve very quickly, you see,
mm-hmm.
because they're filling a niche market, if you like, yeah. a niche environment that mm-hmm. they are then able to thrive in very quickly. And their genetics multiply at a very different rate in order to fit that environment. So one might say that, shouldn't it be then that all wolves should only ever come from the Earth? Because that was peculiar to the Earth, that it actually came, that wolves came out of whales because of the mutation of whales in that kind of specific habitat to do with the margins, the water margins between land and sea. But in actual fact, what I'm saying is that this is something which has been replicated on other planets. Because whales are, in fact, a marker of certain, of a kind of life which exists not just in the kind of oxygen-rich environment that you have, but also can exist in other nitrogen zones, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yeah.
So that you would have different, different hydration zones whereby forms of whale actually exist, and in vast numbers. So you may well have planets which are just completely water. As I've said before, water is abundant on within the entire universe of physical makeup, and also in other places too, in other universes, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So it means to say that when you are looking at different kinds of species, that in actual fact there are many whale-type beings who come from other planets who also occupy the spirit world. That's why, in a sense, that it's like, to begin with, when you return to the spirit world, you won't see this, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll all be of a different vibration. So you simply won't see them. You might feel them moving past you.
Okay.
Or through you as a spirit being, but you wouldn't necessarily see them, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And then it won't be until your energy changes and you lose perhaps some, or you step away from perhaps some of the things that bound you to the physical Earth, that you then begin to invigorate and understand more senses of your spirit's awareness rather than your own physical memory of conscious state.
Yeah, so it's relearning, but in a sensing sort of a way. A
yes,
feeling,
that's
a
right.
Sensing, a,
yes.
Yeah, okay. And
so
also, if you could experience all of that when you first got to the spirit world, it would be rather overwhelming.
Yes,
we would have people hiding,
you see, all the time. And that really wouldn't do, because what we are really about is that we want all beings who return to the spirit world to feel actually very adjusted as soon as they arrive. Some aren't, because of what's going on in their conscious mind memory and all of the thoughts and feelings that are built up in their lives.
Yes, well, but a part of that, obviously, as well, if somebody were to be an animal lover or had lost particular pets, then presumably the presentation of their pets being there would be something that would immediately calm people down.
Absolutely.
Specific people down.
Yes, yes,
and make
quite
them
so.
Feel, okay, now, yep, I understand, I'm home, this is okay. You know, the dog's okay.
Yes, yes.
The cat's okay.
Yes,
oh,
yes,
yeah,
yes.
And everybody's okay.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And I suppose everything's got to be tried. And it sounds simplistic, but this is, I mean, that's, it doesn't, you know, when we go to spirit, we are still who we are. So.
That's right.
There's no point in all of the angels and whatever else that you presume it to be when you get there, to be there, because, well, how would you address an angel when you first got there? Shake them by the hand and say, well, that's fantastic.
By the wing.
By the wing. So, okay, that's great. So in the wolf and whale soul group situation.
Yes. So what actually has happened there is that it was at one time, many billions of years ago, it was at one time a single soul group. But that gradually, as the mutation series of different whale beings and their beautiful spirit became more and more separated in a sense of not diminished, but that they just reached out into different areas because they were so fascinated by sound, always have been.
Both of them.
Yes, but in different ways and in different levels. So that in a sense, it's like whales are the whales and dolphins, of course, because dolphins are whales anyway, the beaked whales. So it means that all beings of that nature have specific individual traits. And these, and then you will find, that means that whales actually occupy and have a great many different soul groups attributed to their kind. And that is the same as the family of wolf, because it's not one soul group, it's many different areas of combination. That is not, but I'm having to be very careful here, because many people then would say, well, surely then that's going to be just a matter of genetic makeup and the ideology of that genetic makeup, how it enables that animal when in physical form to react. But actually it doesn't. And curiously, this is because of the fact that a genetic marker only plays a part in the formation of cells and in the formation of memory, as in vis-a-vis the brain in relation to its actions, the actions of its spirit and the actions of the environment in which it lives. And that's the same for all beings when having a physical life, when its spirit having some kind of other existence of physical state. So what we have seen is that the beings known as whales have in fact become not fractured, but very diverse. That you would have some beings that are whales who don't sing at all and have no intention whatsoever of singing because they communicate telepathically.
Mm-hmm.
And they have extenuated that energy of themselves, not just as physical beings, but as spirit. So it means that oftentimes when a being actually thinks in terms of a different kind of environment, it's usually a whale that actually helps it be placed there. The reason why this is because whales are center, as I say, they're foundation makers in that respect. They are centering to very many different kinds of life being formed. And they actually have a hand in many, many different civilizations and many, many different planets throughout the known universe. And all different other forms of universe too.
But they obviously don't look the same. All look the
no,
same
indeed not.
When they're in the physical
that's right.
planet of Earth.
Yes, that's right. You may have some whales which would reach up to perhaps a half a mile.
Ah, oh, wow.
But that they are as thin as pipes.
Really?
Yes. And they sing like angels.
Oh. Wow.
And they have an luminous colour, almost like as though you can't see them, but that you see the outside form of them, so that, and it tends to shine or shimmery, like as though it's a moving color, but not something that's static. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And when you actually see them within their soul group, they are absolutely breathtaking. They illuminate. They just move across the sky as though they were, or even across the universe, like smoke, in a sense.
Mm. Gosh. Do they ever, I mean, you've talked before about the halls of learning in the spirit world.
Yes.
That where one can go to learn different things in
various
different ways.
Yes.
We've done many programs on the halls of learning. I'm not sure if I've ever asked you this question, but do animals teach in the spirit world?
Absolutely. Oh, yes, absolutely. For example, if you actually went to the halls of learning and you wanted to research about whales, then you would go to the halls of learning to do with whales.
That area, sort of.
To do with that whole area. Now, understand that all halls of learning, wherever they exist, to do with one soul group or another, or perhaps to do with a specific planet, will have references to all beings of the universe held within them. It's just that some parts of the halls of learning, wherever you are at that time, will be, in a sense, not denied you, but that you won't have a vibration of the intent to enable communication with it.
Mm-hmm.
The halls of learning is a living space. So it means to say that when you are looking at the halls of learning itself, the walls are breathing. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all alive. They are alive of and built of stone that continues to create. That could, because it's not dead like stone in the physical world, you see,
mm-hmm.
It's actually continuing to multiply. So that means to say it's how actually the halls of learning continues to grow and to accommodate new different life forms and new different understanding of these different life forms. So I digress.
It's fascinating anyway. Don't worry about that.
Yes. Oh,
I'm
sure well,
they
will.
They're loving it.
Yes. So then what happens is, if you wish to research specific material, perhaps that your focus, let's say for the sake of argument here, is about whales, then you would have to go to the level of where they exist as books and entities. So that means to say that when you move into this part of it, and as I say, it's something that's replicated throughout the entire universe. So it means that when you go to the level of where whales exist, it will be something completely different. It won't be anything like anything you've ever entertained before. And so, but part of what you have to do is that you have to change your energy to be able to receive that information. Because the energy of whales is very specific, not specific to species, but specific to all forms of whale. There are some people, for example, in the Southern Ocean, I understand, who actually live around New Zealand and that kind of place, where whales have become an iconic state, where they actually communicate with them, and that some people actually adore them as a kind of
icon,
yes, quite so, because of their energy and their beauty and all of that, you see?
Absolutely.
And so, I digress in a sense, so that what it means is then that, let's say that you wish to visit with the, not the soul group of whale, but you wish to visit with the place in the halls of learning where whale, where all of the manuscripts and, or at least a large percentage of them, are actually in existence. And it doesn't mean to say that just because you're there that you're going to see it all. You won't. You might only see a tiny little bit of it, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And that's simply because your energy is not of the consistency to therefore be able to embrace the energy of the beings themselves. And in any event, it will only ever be up to their decision as to whether you should be allowed to do that in the first place.
Well, but if your intention is obvious,
yes, and right,
yes, your vibration is loving,
yes,
and etc.,
yes,
then what does it take to be able to do that?
Being loving, being that vibration of loving intent is the secret, in a sense.
But it obviously has to grow further than that.
Well, yes, it does. But that's really, in a sense, then how you start at the bottom and work your way up, you see?
Yes.
And so it really does mean, in actual fact, that maybe it might be that you are encouraged, perhaps, to take part in a work or a recital of work from this particular species. Now, a recital of work from a particular species, we'll just leave it at whales for the moment because
that's
quite it's less complicated. So with this situation, let's say that you're looking at maybe it's to do with the types and forms of whale, to do with not Earth's early history, but perhaps some other planet's early history. What you would have to do, first of all, is you would have to go through the chronicles and archives of whale as a species to do with the Earth, because that is the gateway to you then enabling the interaction between whales of a different planet or a different system.
Okay.
So it's like you have to go through the history of whale itself in respect of your own Earth planet history.
Yes, your own experiences.
Yes, absolutely so, because you're all part of that physical makeup, in a sense, that physical sense of cell and cell memory.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a sense, that means that to begin with, it's like saying that the planet itself is covering all of the other soul groups of all of the other species that exist there in order to help that umbrella function, in a sense, to help that interplay function. And then when you have actually accessed that part of it, let's say then that you obtain a piece or a work about some of the earliest whales, and you would only manage perhaps to really engage with this once before you had probably had to have engaged with other beings of the same nature, but perhaps a little less ancient. You have to remember as well that if you're talking about different species of different time continuums from yourself, then it becomes more difficult to communicate with them. And that's simply the same all the way across the universe. So that it means that, and even though, my dear friend, each and every one of you are a species who is millions and millions of years in ancient state, that's not the point, because you're not referring to the energy of what you are in respect of your human evolutionary state. You're just the now being, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So it means to say that when you are looking at different kinds of inflections when talking about species, it means then that if you wanted to get to know whale from millions of years ago, you would have to go through the species to get there. You see?
All right, okay.
And one would have to introduce you to the next one back.
Ah.
Do you see?
Yeah.
Because it's a case of honoring.
Hmm.
And love has to be genuine. You see? So, doesn't mean to say then that if you wanted to communicate with dinosaurs, that it would be something completely debarred from you. You see? Because in actual fact, what would happen is you would have to begin with the latest dinosaurs that you have. Crocodiles, birds, and all of the other beings that exist presently now. And then move backwards in time.
Mm.
I know that time doesn't exist in relation to how human beings think the spirit world exists.
Mm.
And that in many respects, time is like a quantum situation, which means that it comes from many different aspects, many different avenues, and many different contours. But if you are looking at and wanting to interact with something that's time specific, it means that you have to move through the different ages, in a sense, of that species and its evolutionary state. Purely and simply, not necessarily individual beings, although that will be part of the marker too. And you will have to have utmost patience in order to do that. I understand that Einstein and others, Darwin himself, has actually moved back through different species. And they've both come to understand how it is that the time continuum works, not in respect of barring beings from one another, but in respect of just simply that beings, when they've had a physical life, even though they're pure and beautiful spirit, tend to like to assimilate to the time orientation in which they lived. So in other words, you would find a cave dweller would be completely at odds with your life and times now. It would be very difficult for them to manage and recuperate within the mind, even though the mind of most of them now is just, once again, pure spirit, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. It takes nothing away, but that it's that you have to understand how the management of this is created. It is, in a sense, it's not the same as though if you were taking a piece of stone and it has a uranium count. It has a specific marker of its age due to the distillation of energy from it. That is something that's of regular state. Yes? Mm-hmm. So that's how you establish the age of something of physical state, which is simply because of its, its atomic energy.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's atomic energy that is the state at and rate at which its energy dissipates throughout the process of physical time denotes how old a piece is. In the spirit world, in a sense, what happens is the looseness of the memory of conscious physical time when, in respect of experience of physical state, is something which gradually merges into the distance and becomes no longer relevant to pure and beautiful spirit. You see?
Yeah, okay. So that makes sense when we talk about our guides and helpers and that
yes.
sort of thing who are here, and even the teams with which, like yourself, with the White Cloud group,
yes.
has got to have different strands from all different generations and...
That's right.
Well, and other planets.
Different markers in history.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
To get the full picture and to be able to come up with enough knowledge.
That's right.
So that's why, you know, like cavemen, I don't really hear about cavemen being helpers.
Well, they weren't Einsteins, were they?
No, but
they didn't have that much communication, really.
But nor are some of the guides that we get.
That's
they
right.
They are people like just ordinary people. So that really doesn't necessarily follow, does it? But my point is
yeah.
that cavemen wouldn't be able to help us with, if they can't relate to our Earth and how we live now, no matter how nice they were to each other and to the planet, etc.,
yes.
or whatever, then that wouldn't be the point, would it? I know,
unless,
it's probably a hypothetical question,
yes.
point.
No, it's a good point, my dear friend, very valid.
You know, but yeah. some people, we talk about guides and helpers, and sometimes it's so, far removed from anything that...
Yes.
That they might likely be able to help us with, if you know what I mean.
Yes, quite
true. It makes you wonder how they can help.
Yes, absolutely
that well.
So. Usually, I have to say, if you have beings with you who are from a completely different time continuum,
mm-hmm.
like cave dwellers, it's usually either on a deeply spiritual matter or mm-hmm. on a matter of survival.
Right, okay.
You
yeah.
understand?
Yeah.
So that they would be walking with you to try to help you to survive your
yeah.
physical journey, because they were ultimate survivors
yeah.
perhaps in their own walk of
yeah.
life, and so have taken great mm. measured response. Another reason also, my dear friend, why it might be that the being that walks with you from time to time might be a porpoise or a dolphin or something like that, because of the equation of how that species thinks. Not species as in terms of your reflection of it or understanding of it in physical life, but how it actually is as a being.
Yes, the energy.
Yes. So you might actually have someone who walks with you who's actually a fly. You see?
Flies with you.
Well, yes, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Or a butterfly or a bird or something like that.
Or Sasquatch.
A Sasquatch.
I know, that's
absolutely
cool.
And some have.
Yes.
Yes, quite so.
Yeah.
So it's not without reason, you see? And that doesn't mean to say that, well, surely then that means that they're breaking through the species barrier and they shouldn't be there. No, of course not.
No.
They have every right to be there, particularly when oftentimes it will be that your spirit has asked. Maybe, perhaps, or maybe not. Mm. Maybe that they have asked to be with you.
Well, yes. I mean, and the thing is, yes, we ask for help from our spirit guides and from the spirit world,
yes,
etc.,
yes.
From
yes.
our soul group friends.
Yes.
And who are we to sort of dictate who we shall entertain as helping us and who not?
I understand, however, though, in that you're saying that, my dear friend, that some people think that it's their business to put right and to say, no, you can't have that guide, you can have this one, and that kind of situation.
Oh,
to change their guides for them. Yeah.
Okay, what about animals with a sense of humour? You know, in the spirit world, if you're looking at the soul groups, the different soul groups and species.
Yes.
Are there animals with a particular sense of humour that we might not realise?
There are many animals with good senses of humour.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Many, many. Dogs, cats. There are many different kinds of wolf. Oh, flea, I understand as well. The situation is that you may well have conditions where at times certain kinds of impala, gazelle, and all of those, of those cloven-hoofed beings, and many other different kinds of hoofed beings, also have senses of humour. They like to play with one another. Bears, especially, have a very good sense of fun and play with each other very well. Not just climbing, but in their whole antic, they love to slide, for example. And they're very good on their feet and, well, even on their back sliding.
Mm, okay. What about the man-made species that like mules and
yes, interesting that
Jeanette.
You should make that. Yes.
Yeah. So a mule is the father is a donkey and the mother is a horse, and a Jeanette is a hinny, I think they call them as well. Is the father is a horse and the mother is a donkey.
Yes.
But they can't.
They can't breed from them.
They can't,
no,
you can't breed
so.
From them. They haven't got the ability.
The bits and pieces genetically, my
dear. Yeah, so that makes me wonder, you know, where do they fit in all of this?
Yes, but in actual
because
fact...
Because they didn't exist, did they? Before?
No, that's very true. But the point is that they are part of the same. So it means that when you have... I know that, I suppose, in a sense, the difficulty with it is that donkeys have one form of foot and horses have another.
Yeah.
So in that respect, it's quite difficult. The point is that I would make that it's quite possible for human beings to one day be able to actually make more donkeys without the use of any other animal, you see?
Mm-hmm.
If that were being given the case for it. I don't think it would, personally. But,
No.
So, but
basically, their soul group would be, they would go back to the soul group of horse or an offshoot of that in the spirit world. But obviously, they wouldn't be on other planets because we bred them here.
No, that's very true. That's very true.
Or Gregory,
certain kinds of pig.
They could actually, when they go back to the spirit world, have, from here... have other lives on other planets as that being-ish.
Well, that is a possibility. It is a possibility, but really you have to understand it in respect of their spirit. So it's really to do with how their spirit manifests, and if it is indeed that it which is to do that. Some don't. Some actually stay very close by their own planet of existence, of where they were, where they created, in a sense, became a part of their evolutionary state. Whether there was another being's hand in that creation or not.
Well, that's another question, isn't it, really? It's a huge question on why they would have a life on another planet and how that comes about.
Yes. But it's not a cardinal species, you see. No. That's the point.
Yeah, that particular one.
Yes.
Yes.
So it really means that what you would have ordinarily in the evolutionary state, let's say then from whales and ultimately wolves, which wolves actually created a great many of the different kinds of cloven hoof beings, that it means that different strands of them, you see?
Yeah.
That it actually means that you would have different kinds of processes of physical evolution depending upon how that manifested upon any given planet. And then how those different states of evolution then took precedent over the manifestation of their conscious state. And how that too then enabled different spirit to have different forms of existence.
Here's a question for you, Gregory. Can animals, as in, you know, our pets that are in the spirit world that have gone before us, before us, that we will meet again as soon as we get there?
Yes,
fantastic.
Yes.
Would they actually get taken to the halls of learning as we would go to the halls of learning? I don't mean sort of in the dog's cat, whatever section. I mean, actually, can they go there?
Yes, absolutely. Of course they can. All beings can.
Right. And they would.
They might not want to. It will depend upon what their reasoning is. So, for example, if you have, let's say, a bear, and maybe two cubs, and perhaps that all three of them passed at the same time, then you would have that the bear and three cubs go back to their soul group, and that for a while, for a certain period of adjustment that happens, that the bear and two cubs familiarize themselves with their vibration of intent within their soul group, maybe communicating with other forms of the same like species and other species too, so as for them to understand that the nature of their habitat whilst they lived in physical state upon the earth, we'll call it that for the moment, was somehow at odds with them. Then maybe it was that the bear and two cubs actually drowned at sea, or something like that. Perhaps they were stuck on a piece of ice that then simply melted, and they drowned. You see?
Yep.
As it happens quite a lot these days on your side of life. So you would have then a situation where the mother and two cubs suddenly find themselves in our side of life, and they drowned perhaps, and the cubs wouldn't necessarily know anything about the nature of their existence because they've only had a short life.
Yes.
In physical state. So their learning is like that they continue to be around their mother, that they continue this game that they played whilst in physical life. And that becomes something which the mother, of course, tolerates, but because of the fact that she knows other things, that she's sharing with other bears in their bear location in the universe, it means that all of these others are then teaching the cubs about different facets of being a bear. Not to do with their quarry, not to do with their nature as defined in physical life, because that was simply because they were physical beings, and they were simply responding to the anatomical state and question, which was that they had to go kill other beings for food.
Yes.
And they were basically eating machines.
Yes.
Whether these were trout or salmon or other deer or whatever, you see? So the point is that you have to understand that when you are initiating an inquiry about a specific species, then really what you're doing is you're focusing in on that species as you being a human being. So you're applying the same mannerisms or look or work that you would expect as if they were human beings too.
I know.
Yes. So it comes a little bit difficult. And part of the way that you have to approach it in the spirit world is that you have to immerse yourself in a piece of work that bears have created themselves.
Do we laugh at ourselves when we get to the spirit world and say,
oh, yes.
You know, I can't believe that I imagined
that I thought this or whatever. Yes.
When this was explained to me that I actually didn't get it, you know.
Yes.
I just couldn't. Because we can't possibly grasp all of it, Gregory.
It's
too beyond our human brains. But can I ask you something?
Yes.
Our pets in spirit now.
Yes.
Living their life.
Yes.
Will they want to show us what they've done since they've been back in the spirit world, since they left us?
Oh, absolutely.
Will they? Because obviously...
If you are of a mind and interest to want to take that on.
Yes. I mean...
Obviously.
Yes. I mean, and obviously our loved ones will want to show us what they've learned and show us...
Of course, yes.
..what we are able to do, etc.
Yes.
That's obvious. But
yes.
It's interesting to think that our pets would want to show us the things that they can do now that they couldn't do before or whatever.
Yes, absolutely. And especially, of course, if your relationship was very deep with them, that you had a great deal of love and affection that you gave to them and that they gave you back during your relationship time as you dwelt in the duality that was your lives together, that means to say that loving energy continues to flow. It's not to say that you have to have some master, which is then once again of human state, to deliver them to you, like some being on a plate or something like that. Oh, here are your dogs, or here is your cat and your dog or whatever, or horses from your physical life, and here I bring them to you to so that you can be friends with them again, and then I'll take them back to their soul group. Mm. Absolute rubbish, you see?
Yeah.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah, rubbish. But they do tend to hang around with your loved ones as well, don't they?
That is very true. Yes. So, for example, like if you have a situation with your father who has your two dogs, three dogs, you see, a few horses and all of that, still tending them in the garden, you see. And then you actually find that, in actual fact, there are just some times. They're not there all of the time together. They are there when they want to share one another's company.
Mm. Yes.
Particularly as your father's very busy, you see.
Yes.
So the whole situation is that it's a system of choice and change, whereby the relationship maybe of your father might have been that he never actually got to know one of your dogs, you see?
Yes.
Because it wasn't present whilst he was in physical life. But he became present and knew it once he passed. So that means that when he returned to the spirit world, his relationship with him was just the same as though he had lived with him.
Yes.
And that will be exactly the same as all of those ancestral memories, which are very close ties to you, not way back in history to do with ancestry, because they're not, you're unfamiliar with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would make sense, you see.
Yes.
And also, of course, as I have said before, because of the state of proximity, the laws of proximity dictate specific time barriers. So that doesn't mean to say that you cannot transpose yourself into the 5th century AD or whatever, but it's something that you have to gain permission for.
Mm, yes.
You can't just go there.
Yeah.
Otherwise the spirit world would be a run amok with all different kinds of criminality from all different kinds of walks of life who perhaps may be completely bent on some form of other kind of destruction, which is to do with other beings' lives in other time differences.
Mm. But it just goes to show you that it's all down to letting our pets go and be happy for them.
That's right.
So that they can enjoy themselves and just keep coming back periodically and
absolutely
see how they're getting on,
yes. And of course, and because of the relationship that you've had, it's the love energy which drives them to you, in a sense. Not necessarily at your behest either, they've just come to visit and play. And so may well surprise you, because, and you suddenly feel and experience, oh, their loving energy around you, you see.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's not of your instigation necessarily, but because they want to be with you.
Yeah, so not to get upset if you haven't sent them around for
a
while.
No, quite so.
You just know that they're off somewhere enjoying themselves.
Yeah,
okay.
Very well then.
Well, thank you, Gregory,
so,
once again.
Love and light, blessings upon your journeys, dear friends. Thank you so, God bless.
Thank you. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. Do visit our website, www.spirit-teaching.com, and do join us again next week. My name is Sylvie Avery, and it's been Spirit's Work on the wonderful BBS Radio. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye!